You know, Linda, none of this would have happened if you'd just been honest with your sister.
It's true, Mom. I've been honest with these two since the day Jean got fat.
I remember the ice cream sandwich that did it. I regret nothing!
And Tina, bad breath every day.
Not if you like fish.
See how tough they are?
We've been desensitized.
I'm so numb.
Welcome to episode 34 of The Geek Generation. I am here. Brian Lipsitz is here with me. How are you, Brian?
Good. How are you?
I am doing well, as usual. I apologize off the bat right away if my voice is a little off today. I'm on the tail end of a cold, so I don't know if that's really affecting too much, but hopefully it won't as we move forward in this episode. But the one thing I have to talk about right away, because I am so excited about it and it was such an amazing time, is last night I went to go see Chris Hardwick perform in Boston, and it was epic.
Jealous.
very, very epic show to see the Nerdist live, and his stand-up is phenomenal. The show itself, a lot of comedians are very set up punchline. With Chris Hardwick, it is stream of hilarity. Like, it doesn't stop the whole time.
Nice.
His crowd work is amazing, too, because he definitely had a part where he went through his set list, and as he kind of winded down, he definitely started just going out into the crowd and playing with the crowd, and it was really, really good. The guy is really quick. I wish I had a wit even half as quick as he does, because he is just a pro in every sense of the word. It was amazing. But as far as just the show itself and everything that led up to it, there were all sorts of events going on that I want to tell you about, because they're somewhat funny in their own right. It was like there were all sorts of cosmic things going on and the universe all balancing out for some reason with this show, which I know sounds weird in connection to a comedy show, but I'll explain a little bit for you. So my friend Mike Volpe, who is my friend and also tag team wrestling partner, we went to the show together last night in Boston, as I mentioned. We were driving to the venue, and as we're in Boston, we see this hot chick on the street. Because, of course, you're scoping out all the people walking around outside in the nice weather now. And Mike comments that she has nice boots. So this seems like kind of a throwaway thing at first, but okay, it'll come back. So stay with me. So we decide to go get our food before we go in, because we don't know if there's food inside, or we knew we were sitting at like a table, but we didn't know if it was a table or just like a small little drink table, which it didn't end up being. So we ended up getting food beforehand, which was a smart thing. So we went into this food court and we ordered our food, and all of a sudden I go, "Oh my God." And he's like, "What's wrong?" I go, "I left the tickets at the car." Not only that, I left them on top of the car. Cause I had taken out my stuff and like gotten all my things ready and my sweatshirt and my wallet and all this stuff. I made sure I like turned my phone down and turned any alarms off that were on my iPod. And, I had put things on top of the car, and you never think people actually do this in real life. And they're that absent-minded to forget something on the top of your car. But I put the envelope that had the tickets right on top, and apparently I didn't grab it before we went to go get food. So I make a mad dash back to the parking garage, and thank God it was a parking garage and not just parked out on the street.
It would be gone.
Yeah, that stuff would have blown right away. It was really windy yesterday. So I make the mad dash back and grab the tickets. They're still there, thank God. Go back and meet with Mike. So I'm like almost sweaty a little bit. Now I have this hot like bowl of like chicken and rice and all this stuff. So I'm like totally sweating by the time it's done. But as I mentioned, the universe balancing out, obviously negative thing that I forgot the tickets, right?
Yeah.
Obviously negative. So I run back I'm on my way back to meet Mike to get the food, and I'm at the stoplight waiting to cross, and who do you think is on the other side?
The girl.
Even better. Chris Hardwick.
Chris Hardwick.
Yeah. Chris Hardwick.
This is one of those.
So, I know, right? I threw in a little bit of a red herring there. The girl will come back, but stay okay. with me. So Chris Hardwick's on the other side. I'm like, is that... It is. That's Chris Hardwick. Okay. I'm certain in my mind this is Chris Hardwick. So we're crossing across the street. I probably would have stopped him maybe for more than a second, but we're in the middle of the road in Boston.
Yeah.
So I have my Nerdist podcast shirt on as well. I go, hey, Chris. He goes, hey, nice shirt. I'm like, awesome. I'll see you at the show in a few minutes. He's like, all right, man. I'll see you. I was like, yeah, Chris Hardwick. So I'm geeking out over that already. So I run and I tell Mike all the stuff. He's like, that's freaking crazy. So we go to the venue itself, mm-hmm. and we're sitting at our table and just looking around, and our waitress is taking our orders for the sodas we got, because we're us, and sodas costing $4.50 each. Holy crap. Right?
What the hell?
A small cup of ginger ale. And, oh, that was the other negative thing of the universe bouncing out. Like, I forgot the tickets, and then I saw Chris Hardwick, so now we're on the positive. Then they have Pepsi products. So I'm like, yes, Mountain Dew. So she comes back with the drink order, and they were all out of Mountain Dew on the tap. So I'm like, crap, universe, what are you doing to me? Like, you gave me Chris Hardwick, but you took away my Mountain Dew. So it was all over the place. And we're looking around, and we see this girl that looks familiar. And we're like, oh my God, it's Boots. She's a waitress at the venue that we're at. And so we were like calling her Boots for the rest of the night. Of course, not to her. We didn't even actually talk to her because we're geeks. We don't talk to women. But we were... but it was just one of those funny coincidences. So the other really cool thing that happened during the show... Well, Mike Ferman, for people that don't know, Chris Hardwick and Mike Ferman together are a band called Hard and Firm, like a comedy music act. And Mike Ferman opened up for Chris Hardwick, and he was actually really good too. But one thing that happened later on is... I guess Chris is moderating a Doctor Who panel in New York City on Monday, and he got a video message from the cast of Doctor Who singing his name in the tone and the style of the Doctor Who theme. So he was like mega geeking out over that because he's a ginormous Doctor Who fan. So what he wanted to do is record the crowd and record us doing a video response that he was going to send to the Doctor Who cast. And I'm like, wow, this That's is really crazy. Cool. This is one of those things that you don't do at every show. It's just a cool little thing that we're doing. So he's like, we're going to stop the show for a second, do this together. So he separates the crowd into three parts. He has us each do like the bass thump and then the other music and then the wah, boom, bah. So he's got all those parts going on. We practice it all first, right? So yeah. Then he says, okay, it's time to actually do this. He gave us a cue as to when to cheer. He's like, when I say the word never mind, we're all going to cheer together. So Mike Ferman has has Chris's iPhone out, and we all start doing the music, and Chris is singing a song in response to the Doctor Who people along with the theme that we're doing in the background. And he videotapes all of us going crazy in the crowd, and he's like, oh, I love that. I'm totally going to send that to them later on. It's going to be awesome. And I just thought that was such a cool thing to do.
That's very cool.
Yeah. But aside from all that stuff and the show itself and everything, I thought it was insanely cool that they both went out front after the show, like in the lobby, and they're like, we're there and we're staying. We'll sign anything you want. We'll say hi to everybody. And it was really cool. And I thought it would be one of those things that most celebrities do. Like, you go through and they're like, oh, hi, how you doing? Da da da. Rush you through. Ba ba boom.
Yeah.
They took as much time as each person wanted. And you would think that that would just make everyone really, really impatient. But by the time you get there and you see how much time they're spending with everyone and that they really are like giving you a moment of their time and not rushing through and they're willing to do all that was so cool. And it really shows that they have a great appreciation for all their fans. And it was awesome to see. So I took a picture with Mike and Chris, and Mike was commenting on how cool a voice I have, apparently. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, I have a podcast that I do, too. And he was like, oh, wow, that's really cool. So it was awesome. It was just a good little time spent with them. And I'm still geeking out about it in my head, and I was really, really, really loving that. So that's my Chris Hardwick story and all my universe-balancing wonderfulment.
Very cool.
Thank you. But now that I've given out pretty much my ginormous geek out, what are you geeking out over this week, Brian?
Yay!
Pretty much the fact that Smallville's starting back up in next week, and it's kind of a geek out, freak out at the same time because it's sad because there's only five episodes left, but I think the finale is two-parter, so it's kind of weird to see that it's finally coming to an end. And I mean, I was a sophomore in college when it started, and it's 10 years later.
I know, and, it's pretty crazy.
It's crazy, and it's just I'm excited and I can't wait, but it's at the same time very, very sad. So it's kind of like a mixed emotion, but I'm excited to see where they're going. It's just going to be weird to not have it coming back, not having a cliffhanger, you know. So
yeah, we're going to have to start stalking Tom Welling and just following him around. Like, can you still be Clark, please?
Yeah. So, yes. What was my other one? I don't think there was another one. That might have been it. I'm lacking of geek outs this week.
Oh, that's okay.
I was geeking out over WrestleMania last week, so I'm sort of in a haze of ungeekiness this week.
That's all right. I sort of made up for it with the big Chris Hardwick thing. But aside from that, I actually do have other geek outs. One of which is a video that I saw on YouTube. I don't even remember who retweeted it. But there's a disabled gamer named Broly who's been playing video games his whole life. He has a condition called, let's see if I say this right, arthrogryposis, something like that. And despite this, he has managed to become one of the top Chun-Li players in Texas in Street Fighter 4. Not only does he excel at Street Fighter 4, but he's also one of the top Super Smash Brothers players in the state as well. And he, he plays the whole game by, like, his hands are pretty much unusable. So he puts the controller in front of his face and he plays with his tongue in his cheek.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he's one of the top, like, Chun-Li players in Texas, which is a big deal for, like, gamers. I mean, and the guy doesn't use his hands and he can beat you in Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I thought that was just really awesome and really cool. So I will totally put that video up in the show notes for people to check out so they can see that themselves. Very, very cool thing.
Very cool.
Yeah. The other thing that I'm geeking out about this week is related to the Green Lantern WonderCon footage that we're going to talk about more later on. I don't want to get into it yet. But it's related to that because it's more Geek Generation related. Because I think when that footage came out, I was one of the first people to really get it and throw it up on YouTube. And as a result of that, that video in the course of just last week is already over 100,000 views. And it also became embedded. Ain't It Cool News used that video itself to embed on their website for their article about the footage. As a result of all this, we have 40 plus new followers on the Twitter account. So if any of you are following that are brand new and just listening to the show for the first time, welcome to the Geek Generation. We hope you stick around. But all that stuff has just been like boom, boom, boom. So many people subscribe to the YouTube channel now, and it's blowing up like gangbusters, all from one little video. And I love it.
Green Lantern.
I know, right? So I already love the Green Lantern movie even more than I did already. We'll talk about the footage itself later, but that's something I'm geeking out over, just the fact that
is awesome.
Our presence is rising, that's all.
Very cool. Very cool.
I have one last geek out, but you can't hear it yet.
Okay.
We're going to save it for later on, and I'm going to surprise you with it, and I think you'll dig it.
Sweet.
Okay. So, now that I've thrown that little teaser out there, what are you freaking out about this week, Brian?
Oh, freak out!
First of all, I don't think this is in the news, but DC announced that, or DC Entertainment announced that they are going forward with a Justice League movie, and you know, for 2013, because you know they have to have a movie out that is basically the same as Avengers a year later. No, but what my freak out is you know, cool Justice League movie. They're going to be using it's going to take place in a separate universe. It's going to be a separate Superman, a separate Batman, a separate Green Lantern. No, you know, using, you know, the Green Lantern, Batman, Superman from the movies. They're creating their own for the Justice League movie. And I think that is the biggest cop-out, like, ever. I understand it would cost a lot of money to, you know, to get Ryan Reynolds. But, I mean, to see Marvel doing it and then DC being like, yeah, we're going to put out Justice League, but it's going to be all new character. It's going to be in his own like pocket universe, I just think is so lame.
I agree. That's beyond so stupid. Like when you compare Avengers to Justice League, yeah. Justice League blows him away. So
yeah, and it's just like, yeah, it's just, oh, it annoyed me so bad, and the fact that they were just like so nonchalant about it. They're like, no, it's gonna be their own Superman and Batman. I'm like, what? Like, yeah. No one's gonna understand this. I'm like, you have a Superman and a Batman movie coming out the year before, and then you're gonna have a different Superman and Batman a year later. You're gonna, it drove me insane. I'm like, that would be like them doing Avengers with a new Tony Stark, mm-hmm. like, everyone just recast, and I'm just like,
it'd be like recasting stupid. Hulk or something. I mean, why would they do that?
Touche, but it was one character. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah, it was so annoying, and I was pissed off. Like it really pissed me off, and I was like, there you go, DC. You have like a chance to do something awesome, and you once again, you know, drop the ball. But we'll see how it is. They've been trying to do Justice League for years now, and it's never gotten off the ground. So we'll actually see if they. But I think they see, you know, they need to have something to go up against Avengers. So
yeah, you're absolutely right that it absolutely is a cop out to do it this way. Yeah. And yes, they want to get it out around the same time as Avengers or maybe just recently after. It would take a couple years to properly build this up with the individual movies and then tie it together in the same frame that Marvel is doing. But if they were smart, they would look at Marvel's business model of what they're doing here, see that it's working the way it's working, and then replicate that instead of saying, they're doing a team-up movie, we have to do a team-up movie.
Yeah, I mean, and there's still time. They could have thrown a little teaser in Green Lantern, you know, have like, I don't know, Green Lantern fly by the remains of Krypton. Something, just a little hint of something.
Sure.
Like they did in Iron Man. And, you know, it's so simple to do. And, you know, they drop in the ball. And it's like, forget it, whatever. Like, I'm already not excited for Justice League just because I'm sure it could be a great movie, but I'm just like, the fact it seems so B-level compared to what Marvel's doing, it's just sad. You know, and they've got the whole Time Warner Brothers giant corporation above them, and Marvel's doing it just out of their studio, I think is kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, you're right. I totally agree. I think it's a totally bogus move. And yeah, it makes me sad because the Justice League is amazing and such an epic thing.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the biggest superheroes of all time. And yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think. Do I have another freak out? I do not believe so.
Okay. My freak out this week is Marvel vs. Capcom 3, believe it or not.
Okay.
And it's not because of the insanely expensive DLC, but it's actually in regards to the online play. I have been playing a lot online. I really enjoy the online play because there aren't a ton of different things to do inside of Marvel vs. Capcom except for play, the arcade mode. The new events stuff that they added is a really good addition. I think that was very smart, and I hope they continue to add not only new events, but new modes of play in the future to really make this game longer lasting for the people that put the money into it. But when you play ranked matches specifically, you run into the cheapest motherfuckers ever.
Oh my God, I agree.
They use the same character or the same like team or the same combo or the same everything over and over again. Yeah, and the matches are so short that you don't have the opportunity to learn what they're doing and adapt to it, and the match is over and you can't rematch them because it's a ranked match, so you can't learn and adapt, and it's just done, and you're like, well, crap, I got bested because the guy knows a combo.
You know what, some like 6-year-old kid like with like a giant like control, like a giant like gamepad, just like laughing hysterically.
Yeah, and I try to choose, like, I keep all those settings. I want to play someone that's the same virtual rank as me. Yeah. But they always seem like they have 1,000 wins and like 5 losses. And I'm like, oh my God, how is this person on the same rank as me? I'm not even on the positive of winning.
It's okay. You kicked my ass multiple times online on that game to the point where I was just like, I'm not going to play online for a while. I need to get better at this game.
Oh. Well, I've instead decided, you know what? My rank isn't that important to me. I'm going to play the non-ranked matches because I've found already that those people are in there to play and have a lot more fun, and you can rematch the same person over and over and even choose different characters and learn each other's fighting styles, and it's a much more complex online gaming experience to me than the ranked matches are.
Yeah, it's not all about, like, I need to move up in the rankings. I'm number 15 ranked in the world. Who cares?
Yeah, and when I was playing the non-ranked stuff, like, I even got into this bout with a guy the other day where he won, like, the first 2 or 3, and then I won one. And he probably expected me to sign off. and be like, well, I don't want to fight you anymore because I finally got a win. I was like, no, let's keep playing. We went through like 10 more matches. I won some. He won some. It was just fun. And that's cool. Yeah. You want to develop those like little online friendships and do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So very ranked cool. matches, I hate you. that's my freak out. Well, that's pretty much my only freak out this week. So I guess we'll take our commercial break now. And when we come back, we'll take a look at the listener emails and the news. Do you shop on Amazon.com? Would you like to support the Geek Generation while shopping on Amazon.com? Great, because you can do both without spending any additional money. All you need to do is visit www.thegeekgeneration.com and find the Amazon button on the front page. Click the button, do your normal shopping, and check out. You've spent no additional money, but you have earned us a commission. Please make this a regular part of your Amazon.com shopping routine.
Hey, this is Chris Hardwick, and you're listening to The Geek Generation. In case for some reason you forgot the thing you were listening to, why would you do that? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell.
And there you have my third geek out, Chris Hardwick, recording a bumper for The Geek Generation. I love it.
Awesome.
I love
awesome.
It.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
I didn't mention it earlier because I wanted it to be a surprise. But cool. I was when I asked him, I figured if anybody would do a bumper, it would be the Nerdist himself, who has one of the best comedy podcasts out there, hands down. And he was like, absolutely yes. So thank you so much, Chris. That is, I can't tell That's you how awesome. Much like of a high that gives me walking out of the show and being like, yeah, you got a bumper. I love my bumpers. You know, I love my bumpers. So. So yeah, that was epic and I love it. And thank you. Thank you 1,000 times, Chris Hardwick.
Very cool.
Yeah. So let's take a look at the listener emails. It's been a while since we asked this original
question.
Wait,
what was our poll question? No,
yeah, I know, right? Our original poll question, I don't know, 3 weeks ago was, what do you think of the new Wonder Woman TV costume? And one of the issues here is that since we asked this question, they've already changed the Wonder Woman TV costume. So there was one response in 3 weeks that we got from Anna Zifkak saying, hi, Rob, long time no write. I commented on this poll question on the website, so I'll just paste it here. Wow, check out those boobs. Those are intense. But seriously, I love how they didn't stray too far from the classic costume while getting rid of the obviously dated features like the hot pants, for example. Although going forward without getting too hyped up, I'm really excited to give the show a chance. And also, I think the three personalities could work, actually. I think the CEO secretary working out a bit like Queen Amidala Padme type situation. Like maybe you won't see a whole lot of the CEO, but Diana wants to be sure she's on top of the daily goings on at her company. I think that's probably what's going to happen. That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But,
it's an,
sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's an interesting way to take the character. I don't know if it's going to work or not, but I guess we'll see. I mean, it's an interesting variation of something they really haven't done. So
yeah,
it should be interesting.
But talking about the original costume, which we did already a bit, mm-hmm. and then seeing the altered one that was spied on the set of the pilot itself, I think they made some very smart changes. One, they got rid of the pleather looking pants and put something a little more canvassy that seems like would allow better mobility as she moves around and does all her action stunts and whatnot. And the other thing of just simply changing the blue boots to red, so there was a little more balance and diversity of color. Those are two very solid changes, and I really like the alterations.
It kind of looks like they darkened the colors a little bit, too. Like, overall, like, darkened the overall colors of the costume, or at least to me in the pictures, maybe. The other one was just very brightly photoshopped, but it looked like they darkened a little bit.
They very well may have. I didn't notice it as much. It could be a lighting thing, too, so who knows?
Yeah,
it did look really good. It didn't look glaringly, like, out of place like you think a Wonder Woman costume might inside of modern times. So if that's what they were going for, they succeeded. Well done.
Well, not according to the fanboys in the world, because everyone hates it, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, we all know our fanboy opinions are the ones that truly matter. And we influence Hollywood because Hollywood listens
of course.
To us. Yeah, sure they do. Moving on, let's go right into the news then. Top story this week. The Green Lantern trailer will hit theaters on May 6th, attached to Marvel's Thor. Warner Brothers is well aware that up to this point, Green Lantern has been underpromoted and blames the delay on the extensive post-production required for the massive science fiction world. Quote, "We are on a learning curve," says WB Pictures president Jeff Robinov, "in getting 3D materials and marketing materials on the same schedule. The good news is that with the trailer set to hit soon, it sounds like things are back on track and the studio promises that future footage will be all the more impressive for the wait." Quote, "Part of the reason the response to the first trailer was lukewarm was that the big-scale sequences weren't ready to show," marketing president Sue Kroll adds, "and we suffered for it. We can't afford to do that again." And with that being said, we get the Green Lantern WonderCon footage.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Biggest freak out ever. I've never seen so many people freak out over, like, in a good way, freaking the F out. Like, people, mostly comic book fans, but just people watching it, non-comic book fans going, people who had no liking of this movie whatsoever, thought it was going to be a piece of shit, all were suddenly like, oh my god, that looks freaking amazing. Like, I've never seen a turnaround with just, like, one set of footage ever, and it's just crazy how much it changed people's opinions of the movie.
Yeah, and apparently the footage that they showed, those 4 minutes, is actually an abbreviated version, like it says at the beginning, of all the stuff they showed at WonderCon. So I'm really curious to see what else they showed.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really is, the turnaround, like you said, is like a total 180. People saw that original trailer, and they were like, I don't know about Green Lantern. We've made our comments about why was there no Green Lantern trailer at the beginning of the Super Bowl, and they're totally slacking on promotion of this. At least we have an explanation now, and they're proving their point with this WonderCon footage, because I've been keeping an eye on the YouTube comments for it, and the overall consensus is people are freaking excited for this now, like they were never before.
I'm just worried. I mean, it's not that it's too late, but I just worry. I'm hopeful that, you know, this keeps going and they don't stop. I mean, if they stop, they got to keep the wheel moving, and they need to keep it out there. I mean, every time you turn on the TV, you see I see Thor TV spots all over the place. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's coming out a month before Green Lantern, but it's just nothing out there yet. There needs to be more. This is phenomenal, and this is a huge, huge, ginormous step forward, but they need to continue the ball rolling. I know the special effects in there, but you gotta get it out there no matter what. You gotta get that word of mouth going, and hopefully this did that. I think it did to a lot of people, but I still don't think the general audience is gonna know that it's coming, so you need to really get that out there. So.
Absolutely.
But yeah, phenomenal. Like, blew me away. Made it look really, really well done. Some of the alien stuff still looks a little off to me, but I mean, that's my personal opinion. But I think everything looked great. I mean, I got chills when he recited the oath and his eyes went green, and, you know, it just phenomenal stuff all around. Made it look a lot more serious. Mm-hmm. A lot, definitely played down the cheesiness of the first trailer. Just Sinestro looks great. It was very, very well done, and it very, very 100% awesomeness.
Yeah, there's so much that they're clearly doing right with this, even though we had our arguments mm-hmm. before. And I watched the WonderCon panel that was posted on YouTube, not just the footage itself, but the actual panel. For one, Ryan Reynolds was freaking hysterical during the panel.
Yeah,
that was great. The other thing is that it seems like his interpretation of Hal Jordan is not as Tony Stark as I thought it was.
Yeah.
So that's really good to hear. And that was still my biggest concern overall with this whole thing. But he has said that Hal's not the quick, like the quick-witted, quirky, comic-y guy that maybe the first trailer showed. So mm-hmm. we're going to see a much more serious Hal like we should be expecting.
And I mean, my only worry now in this movie, and, you know, she is hot as hell, but Blake Lively does not look like she can act her way out of a paper bag. And I don't watch Gossip Girl, whatever the hell show she's from. So I'm worried that her being the female lead and then eventually becoming a major character in the franchise, mm-hmm. The Star Sapphire, is kind of worrying me. I mean, she's gorgeous, but I don't know, she just doesn't seem to have much. It's her passion for the project seems kind of, I don't know, transparent to me. But
well, as we mentioned during the initial trailer analysis, that delivery of the one line she gives is absolutely horrible. Yeah. But in her defense, I have seen other things she's been involved with, specifically The Town, and she was really good in that, so she does have the ability. Uh-huh. So let's hope it's solid in Green Lantern. Fingers are crossed.
So,
next story here. The president of entertainment at Fox, Kevin Reilly, announced this week that that animation domination newcomer Bob's Burgers has been renewed for a second season. Quote, Bob's Burgers has proved to be a perfect neighbor to our slate of fan-favorite animated families. Yeah, fan-favorite animated families this year. Yeah, all right, that is right, said Reilly. I thought it sounded weird for a second.
Yeah.
The series has found its own really unique, irreverent voice and is doing consistent business for us on Sundays, so we're excited to serve up another season to the fans. The premiere of Bob's Burgers this year was the highest-rated new series debut on any network so far this season. The series currently ranks among the top 10 programs this season among young men. I am thrilled for this because Bob's Burgers has been a standout, phenomenal show so far in this first season. I love it, and I can't wait for a second season.
Sweet. I mean, I haven't seen it yet. I've seen clips here and there, and my friend, one of my close friends, is really, really into it and has been telling me about it, and it sounds funny. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm happy that it's got renewed. I mean, anything to stop the entire monopolization of Sunday night animation by Seth MacFarlane. Mm-hmm. So,
well, yeah, it's something a little different, and it's
exactly.
It's not the same typical family that a lot of the other animation ones have. Like, they're not all geniuses, or they're not all stupid, and the dad's mm-hmm. not the dumb one, while the sister's smarter. And
yeah,
it's not the typical formula, but it works really, really well.
Sweet.
Let's see here. Walt Disney Pictures officially announced at CinemaCon that their Monsters, Inc. follow-up will indeed be a prequel and will officially be titled Monsters University. Featuring the characters that first appeared in the hit 2001 Pixar film Monsters University, will again cast the voice talents of John Goodman and Billy Crystal in the roles of Sully and Mike, presumably telling the tale of their first meeting and their scare-filled education. Monsters University has been pushed back from November 2nd, 2012, and will now arrive in theaters on June 21st, 2013. So it's a ways off.
Wow. I just like, why did they wait so long? Like, 2001 to 2013 seems like a long, you know, to do even something connecting movies. That's like a long wait.
Right.
So that's cool, but I just think it's going to be interesting to see how I'm sure it will do fine. I mean, all the Pixar movies do fine,
yeah.
But it just seems weird at such a long, long, long wait.
Well, in the meantime, there are two Pixar movies to look forward to, one being Cars 2, which I say looking forward to very loosely.
I was going to say, I wouldn't even give it that much, but yes.
The other one after that is a movie called Brave, which will be the first Pixar non-sequel since Up.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
This is true.
So that'll be interesting. So at least there's a little Pixar on the way down the road. Activision Publishing and Marvel Entertainment have announced Spider-Man Edge of Time, where Spider-Man faces one of his greatest challenges ever, saving Spider-Man. Developed by Activision-owned studio Beenix, Spider-Man Edge of Time challenges the player to take on the roles of both classic Amazing Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2099 to correct a time stream gone awry and prevent a catastrophic future brought on by the early and untimely death of Peter Parker. Spider-Man Edge of Time is a focused, action-packed adventure set in two connected and evolving timelines, from the contemporary times of the Amazing Spider-Man to the corrupted future world of Spider-Man 2099, against the backdrop of a rich, tightly crafted narrative by acclaimed Marvel veteran Peter David, co-creator of the comic book series Spider-Man 2099. The game features all new cause and effect gameplay, where players will see how the immediate and sometimes unexpected effects of their actions as one Spider-Man changes the timeline of the other Spider-Man. Spider-Man Edge of Time is slated for a release this fall.
Looking forward to it, definitely. I loved the last one, but it's kind of sad that they went from four different realities to now just two different Spider-Man you're playing as, so maybe not as... Yes, they're going to have the cause and effect, but I don't know if it's going to be as, you know, revolutionary and exciting as the last one. But I'm excited to see. Obviously, they're using the same engine and everything. Mm-hmm. The fact they're cranking it out so fast. But Peter David is an extraordinary writer, so I'm excited to see how he does writing the script for the game. But I'm sure it will be decent. I'm a sucker for Spider-Man, so I'll buy it nonetheless.
Yeah.
So.
I actually haven't played Shattered Dimensions, but when I read this, really I was just thinking, oh, this seems like almost along the same lines too much. Like, why not do something different?
Yeah, it definitely just seems like, well, we've done all this work on Shattered Dimensions and it was really good. Let's just make another one with the same stuff we have left.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I don't know. But Shattered Dimensions is a really, especially the noir part was my favorite. So it kind of bums me that they're not bringing the noir back. But 2099 was pretty awesome as well. So should be interesting, at least. I don't think it's going to be a huge... It's probably not going to be a huge hit, but it's something to be out there at the time, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Next story I'm kind of bummed about, because I'm a big Mega Man fan, but Capcom has posted an apology and notice of cancellation on the official Japanese website for Mega Man Universe, a customizable Mega Man game that was scheduled to launch on Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network later this year. The retro-styled platformer was an amalgam of remade Mega Man 2 levels, customizable characters, and user-created levels. According to Capcom's notice, the decision to extinguish Mega Man Universe was given impetus by various circumstances. Those may involve the departure of Mega Man creator and Universe conceptual lead Keiji Inafune, who left Capcom in October 2010.
That sucks. I mean, I don't know if it was something I'd be interested in, but I do enjoy the Mega Man games. But that sucks. I would assume it does have a lot to do with, you know, the guy leaving and stepping down, and you know, I think Capcom's trying to not rebrand itself, but they're trying to restructure everything right now. So
yeah, I'm really bummed by that because the Mega Man series was always one of my favorite franchises in video gaming. I was looking forward to this because it was kind of that concept of Mega Man meets Little Big Planet, like. All customizable, make the Mega Man you want, make the levels you want. It's an infinitely possible game because you can keep creating levels and sharing them and all that stuff. So the fact that it's not going to be happening, I'm really, really bummed about.
Yeah, that sucks.
I'm wondering if perhaps there's enough fan cry or outcry that maybe they'll resurrect it, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Yeah, usually with video games, if the product shut down, it's pretty much dead. Yeah. Not to give you no hope, but
yeah, I know, I'm bummed. That would have been a freak out, but it was in the news, so I'm freaking out a little bit now. But to stay with Capcom has announced that Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City is in development for the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and PC. Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City is a collaboration between Capcom and Vancouver-based studio Slant 6 Games, and is scheduled for release this winter. Expect the return of original Resident Evil enemies, iconic landmarks such as the Raccoon City Police Department, and fan-favorite characters including Leon S. Kennedy, who as a rookie police officer in Raccoon City, is on your hit list to eliminate. Players will experience a retelling of classic moments from past titles Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3, and watch the events unfolding from the menacing perspective of the Umbrella Security Service, giving fans the chance to rewrite the history of the Raccoon City outbreak.
That's interesting. That's weird. They're sort of doing a prequel slash not prequel, but like a redoing from the other side from the villain side, basically. Mm-hmm. That's kind of interesting. Resident Evil 5 I like, but there were a lot of people that didn't like it, so I can understand why they're probably still developing 6 or don't know what to do with 6. So I just find it funny that they haven't, you know, capitalized on the movie. Not the movies have been really successful, yet the movies really have nothing to do with the games. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm surprised they haven't done some sort of, you know, tie-in or, you know, combination thing. But that sounds pretty cool though.
Yeah, I'm not a Resident Evil fan myself. The horror genre in games is not one I enjoy because I don't like feeling paranoid while I'm walking around in a game that much. I feel paranoid enough in my normal life. I don't need to feel paranoid in a video game.
Don't play Dead Space. That's all I'm going to say.
Noted. So I find it's interesting that they are doing a Resident Evil from another, like, they're not the villains of the series because they're not the zombies themselves.
Yes,
they're not the umbrella. They're not the usual like ones that the people use already. And you're going to be hunting people that you were using in the past, which I don't know if fans want to be behind that.
Yeah, it's kind of a. I mean, Umbrella is pretty much the evil corporation that created the zombie outbreak. So I don't know what, or the zombie virus. So I don't know why you would want to play that person, but I guess it's going to be interesting to. See,
yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Lastly, this, I assure you, is not a joke. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Stan Lee have teamed up to create The Governator, a new animated series and comic book coming next year. Stan Lee told Entertainment Weekly that, quote, "The Governator is going to be a great superhero, but he'll also be Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're using all the personal elements of Arnold's life. We're using his wife. We're using his kids. We're using the fact that he used to be governor. Only after he leaves the governor's office, Arnold decides to become a crime fighter and builds a secret high-tech crime-fighting center under his house in Brentwood. Along with the Arnold Cave, the Governator will have a fleet of super vehicles at his disposal, a closet full of super suits that allow him to fly and perform other super stunts, and a team of colorful sidekicks, such as Zeke Muckerberg, the precocious 13-year-old computer whiz who acts as the Governator's cybersecurity expert. Naturally, there will also be recurring supervillains, including an evil organization called Gangsters, Imposters, Racketeers, Liars, and Irredeemable Ex-Cons, or Girly Men for short. For Schwarzenegger, the cartoon is obviously the next best thing to being president. Quote, I love the idea of a control center below my house with a path so that the boats and submarines can go right into the ocean, he tells EW. And the
You're not doing an normal voice. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Wait. All right. Let me see. I love the idea of a control center below my house with the parts that the boats and submarines can go right into the ocean, he tells EW. In the cartoon, my house is much closer to the beach than where we live. But, you know, it's a cartoon. Better?
Yes, all right, all right.
Sorry, I forgot I was quoting Arnold Schwarzenegger. So
I was just reading it. I'm like, Arnold sounds very normal.
I don't know if anyone even understood what I was just saying.
All I know is I was like virtually slamming my head against a wall. Like,
I know, right? I can't believe this garbage.
All right, now Stan Lee, I love Stan Lee. Without Stan Lee, there would be no me being a geek. I wouldn't be on the show right now. I would not be. But let's remember, Stan Lee has made such great cartoons as Stripperella, where he went to a lot of strip clubs and came up with an idea to make a superhero with Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
So, track record-wise on his other stuff that's not Marvel-related, not too good. So, this sounds absolutely freaking terrible.
And if you watch the footage for the cartoon that I posted, it's even worse than it sounds.
Oh, my God. Can he just go back to being, like, making True Lies 2 or like Terminator 5 or whatever?
Those are other rumors that are out there. People are talking about him. They
just
are
making that up, but okay.
No, I'm serious. There's rumors about, I mean, he's done being the governor now. It's time to get back into Hollywood. There are rumors of him returning to the Terminator franchise. There are rumors of a True Lies 2 because they did want to do it at one point, but then all the terrorist attacks kind of said, okay, we can't do this right now. It's just way too sensitive. So there is talk of a True Lies 2 in the works.
I can't wait. I can't wait for him to have Jamie Lee Curtis strip for him and go, do it slowly, do it sexy.
Do it sexy and slowly.
Very slowly.
Or eat the yogurt. I love the yogurt. Is that the stuff for your bowels?
Oh, man, that story just is bad. I can't handle that.
And you want to know what the worst part is? There are rumors that this will not only be a cartoon, but they're actually planning a movie as well. Which I imagine would be a live-action movie that Arnold would be in.
That just be like, Jingle All the Way!
Jingle All the Way! I like Jingle All the Way. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, it would be like Twins. No, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I love Stan Lee, too. He's like the nicest old man on the planet. I wish he was my grandfather, but I feel like senility is setting in.
I think just called money, and he needs money. Well, he doesn't need money, but I think he's just like, I'm old and whatever. Do whatever. I'm going to do whatever I want now at this point.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The Governator. Yeah. And what kind of a disguise and superhero name is that when you don't want people to know your secret identity? I was the governor, and now I'm the Governator. You never see the connection between the two. He's like a giant man who's built like a brick house, and he has a governor in his name, and nobody's going to think twice about it. Plus, that's not even the worst part. It's just the fact that I'm the governor. You don't recognize my voice from when I was on TV and in movies in Hollywood. Like, it's so obvious. It's stupid. I don't know.
Terrible. Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah. It really is stupid as hell. I hope this never sees the light of day beyond.
Let us never speak of it again. Not sure.
Oh, it's coming back up in the future. There's no doubt. I'm not letting this one go. All right. I think it's time to wrap things up. Do you have a final thought or something you'd like to plug, Brian?
The newest issue of Graphically Speaking went up on Thursday, I believe. It's a good episode. Listen to it, please, and send me feedback and reviews or whatever. Other than that, nope.
Awesome. All right. Well, then, as always, I remind everyone to please share the show and the articles on Facebook and Twitter. Get the word out and keep the generation growing. If you want to visit the Geek Generation, go to www.thegeekgeneration.com. I don't know why I say www anymore. That's kind of whole dropped from the whole plugging thing, hasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
You had the .com and people get it, I think. So go to thegeekgeneration.com. And while you're there, there's a button to subscribe to this show, Graphically Speaking, and our movie reviews. Right now, that's all the stuff we got on the channel. That's in iTunes. You can subscribe there. While you're in iTunes, please rate the show and write a review. There's a donation button on the side of the site that no one will ever use. If you have any questions, comments, insults, or topics you'd like us to discuss on a future episode, please send those to podcasts@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. If you'd like to submit an article to the site or an audio file to this show, those can be sent to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. If you want to follow us on Twitter, I'm @TheNightAngel, Brian is @XanderHarris, and of course, The Geek Generation is @GeekGeneration. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site is also on our site. Words out of my mouth. Wow, I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's the cold. I'm just all sorts of scattered
cold,
today.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm going to blame it on the cold. Like Milli Vanilli blames it on the rain, I'm going to blame it on the cold. Talk about obscure references. How you doing? let's get out of here before I say something really stupid. We will see you guys next time on The Geek Generation.
Later.